Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Saturday Night Show, Exploring a Crisis with Captain D2, c'est moi, and with my trusty cop sidekick, Dan DeShino. Are you out there, Dan?
I am. Ooh, trusty. I fooled you, huh? I try to be as trusty. Yes, I'm very, very excited to be here. I missed you. We haven't actually talked much in the last couple of weeks. How's everything going?
Thank you for asking. I have new windows and new gutters and new soffits, and I'm just peachy keen. The old girl's getting a facelift, and I'm not the old girl the house is. So.
excellent. Yes, I could definitely use this very crazy week at work, but I am very excited for tonight's show.
We don't have any interference, because it looks like the weather kicking up out there, and we're seeing a lot of lightning, so I'm hoping that we don't have any problems with reception. So anyway, but before we begin, I would like to acknowledge the fact that this program is part of a group of programs that is hosted by allpoets.com, and the group within the All Poets is latenightpoets.com. And we are one of many, many excellent, superb shows with very learned hosts and great comments and outstanding poetry, which is probably, I would hope, the reason you tuned in. So anyway, before we get started, do we have any guests?
I don't hear any, so I think it's just you and I for now, but I might be wrong.
Well,
no,
Volley,
I'm here.
Volley for sure.
Yeah, oh, no. We do.
Yeah.
Oh, we got it.
Hi,
is that
Bobby.
Gray?
Hi, Daniel.
Gray, thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely.
It was your turn to bring the chips?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, great. Well, and I saw that you contributed a piece. So we'll get a little warmed up here, and then we'll kick into your piece so you can read for us. But in the meantime, you want to post something for us, Dan, so we can get this show on the road?
I definitely do. Very excited. We're gonna rock it tonight. But first, before we get to our contest for this week, we do have three carryovers from last time. So I'm going to post this one here. I don't know if you want to give just a quick rundown on what the show was about last week, Bobby?
Last week we had Lisa Iosato's artwork, mostly watercolor, a little cartoon like, but I posted her artwork of children, and she gives a lot of impressions of children in experiencing different things in their lives, and she interprets it through her artwork. And we had some marvelous poetry last week, so I'd like to let's finish up with what we had left over and make sure these folks get airtime.
Absolutely. So the first one is called Bless the Rains by Vamped Vixen. I'm not sure the prompt number, but the picture is on the poem. And Bobby, if you can start us off, that would be great.
I can do that. I will channel Vamped Vixen the best I can. Yes, it actually is. It is two children in the rain. And bless the rains. Sometimes I think all my words will dry up like a drought in the savannah. Cracked lips, puffing iron dirt blown across this fissured earth. Skeletal bones of elephants will hunger in overcast graveyards, weeping without words to remember as my bones bleach by the desert sun. Withered, dead acacia branches where the spotted hyenas cackle. Wind-blown footprints left in sands of nomadic tribes seeking to find me will pause in reverence when they see my carcass in the dust, a shadowed husk of ancient folklore. But then the clouded skies split apart, pouring thunderous rain to a blue oasis, rivers swell, filling to streams and dams, the land chanting exalted hallelujahs as fern and jungle flowers sprout again. And I lift my face like a dancing child, arms stretched wide and open, thirsty to soak in the smell of petrichor as I touch this mirage once again. End poem. All righty. So let's start with our esteemed guest, Gray. What did you think of this piece?
You thought it was a beautiful expression. You did a wonderful job of that read. But, you know, the poem is it's powerful in its in-depth, you know, self-evaluation. And it's, you know, its images are fantastic as well. But, you know, the clouded sky split apart, pouring thunderous rain to a blue oasis, rivers swell, filling to streams and dams, the land chanting exalted hallelujahs as fern and jungle flowers sprout again. Yeah, just a beautiful note to, you know, the rain. I thought it was well done.
Thank you. Great comment. Dan, what were your thoughts about this piece?
Yeah, I really liked it. The comment I put on the actual piece was it's very descriptive and almost cinematic in its descriptions, which I thought were just beautiful. And I really thought this is a great poem of hope. So, you know, this is not only just visceral towards the actual painting, but you can just feel, you know, those days when you feel like things just aren't going your way and you're hopeless and you're frightened. But then when things get better, when you come out of that, you do feel childlike. You know, you do feel kind of that sense back of the time when you didn't have that many worries. When you were just a little kid, you know, I remember being a little kid and I didn't worry about the house. I didn't worry about the weather. I didn't worry about anything, you know, really, because I didn't understand. I knew, my parents would just take care of it. So you kind of, sometimes you get back into that. So I thought that was really beautiful, the way that she did this, you know. But then the clouded sky split apart, pouring thunderous rain into blue oasis. And I lift my face like a dancing child. So really great job, Vamped.
And an outstanding comment. I like your description of cinematic. I really do. That the visual imagery in this is so vividly described. I mean, you can almost taste the dust in the way she describes the arid landscape of the desert, and then when the clouds burst open, and the smell of petrichor as I touch this mirage once again. She's really, I really enjoyed her interpretation of the prompt and the imagination with which she approached it. She approached it from arid first and then rainy, which I thought was Inspire's way to go at this. So thank you for that, Ben Dixon. That was a great piece. Who we got next?
Yes. 1 second here. We have, sorry, I'm behind already, not starting out good, but I will get better, I promise. So we have one by Pink Fairy 5. This is called
Do Not
Being
to Wash
Socialized.
Your Hands.
Yes, exactly. And I think we might have a caller.
I'm calling. Okay. And will someone let them in?
Hey, I think it's me, Dexter.
Dex! I haven't heard your voice for a dog's age. How are you?
I know. I'm pretty good. How are you?
Hey, Dex, thanks
you
for joining.
Oh.
Hey.
Did you get to hear the poem by Vamped Vixen?
Yeah, I thought it was a stellar write. Great imagery used throughout, and I thought that she really brought back that that youthful feel to the entire thing, so it was very well done.
Thank you. That it was. We are glad you were able to come in and contribute your thoughts to it. Would you like to contribute your voice to the next piece?
Absolutely. So the next one here is by Pink Fairy 5, Being Socialized. I'm screaming so loudly, how can they not hear? My head is full.
Underwater.
I'm sure there are fast-moving dimples in my cheeks. As I try to tear the family apart with my rage, my mother is speaking to me in that calm way that infuriates me further. I want to smack and smash, kick, shriek, and tear my eyeballs out. If I do, I will throw them at her. They will land on her pretty dress, ruining it. God, is she still talking? Is that stupid status quo smile still suck on my face? I don't dare go back there because she knows me. I will have to stay here in La La Land so I don't not let anyone know that I am so damn mad I want to tear a tractor apart and eat it. I am screaming so loudly, how can she not hear? End poem.
Great read. Other than the fact you disappeared underwater for a couple of lines there. But,
oh, did I?
Glad to... I just thought. Okay, well, comments, gray eyes. What did you?
But I did a wonderful read on that, Dex. But you know, the poem is definitely reflective of learning what life is, and you know how to control your anger in certain moments. And I thought it was just a beautiful expression of you know learning. You know, how to control that anger and not tear your eyeballs out and throw them at your mother's dress. Beautiful, right?
Great observation. Thank you. And Dex, you read it. What did you think of it?
Well, this was a very relatable piece. You know, sometimes when you're just, you know, upset, especially when, you know, somebody that kind of wears their emotions on their sleeve. I know my face is heavy. I can feel my eyes pinking. So it's like it's kind of bringing anxiety to you because you feel everybody knows that you're upset. You know, you wish that you weren't upset, but that's not changing anything, and it's just spiraling out. And I thought that the pace of the poem kind of captured that as well and just very creative on describing how angry she is. So very well done.
Oh, man, great observation. Thank you. Dan, what did you think of this piece?
Yeah, I did like it a lot as well, too. And it was very, very descriptive. And it's very interesting, you know, the emotions that we have as children compared to as adults. And there's times I remember and times that happen when something is really, really important and very traumatic for a child. But, you know, parents might just say, just get over it, move on. But you don't really necessarily hear what they're saying or a time when a parent or an adult might think that it's nothing, but it's extremely important to the kid. You know, there's always that kind of generation gap. It's hard for older people sometimes to remember, you know, the differences that there are when you're younger. So really, really interesting. I enjoyed it a lot. I always enjoy Pink Fairy Five's stuff. Absolutely.
Yes. I particularly, when I posted this piece, I was hoping someone would write this piece to this piece of artwork, and so very glad that she chose it. I really, really appreciated her interpretation because on the left side of the artwork is a face just screaming, just shrieking at someone, and the other side is calm and serene and docile and almost subservient as looking at the person. And I understand what she's saying. It's, you can have these. She makes it sound like you can entertain these thoughts, and the left side is actually what you're thinking, but the right side is how you're reacting. And it's the duplicity of it is what I really appreciated, the way she addressed inner thoughts versus outer manifestation. So great piece, Pink Fairy Five. Really enjoyed it. Who's next?
Oh, next we have a double treat because we have our last one from last week, and this is by the always entertaining Passions Promise. And the second part of the treat is I would like Gray to read that for us. This is called Charlotte's Dream.
Okay, Charlotte's Dream by Passions Promise. Charlotte had a special gift of speaking to the farm, but no one knew the gift she had outside the barn. Her parents were wrapped up tight, so Charlotte spent most of the night dancing with the butterflies. Smile she will in happiness while insects came to play. On windowsills they came to bless Charlotte's gritty day. Ansel the butterfly always came to visit, greeting Miss Charlotte. And the ants got to join in. They spoke to her in rhyming riddle, and she'd laugh herself awake. She'd answer in half asleep mode, but then came the talking snake. It slithered to her quarters quick and beckoned her to sit. He laughed a little nervously, then answered his request. Hello. Evening, butterflies. How do you do? We are doing fine, Charlotte. How about you? I'm a dreamer in the making friends, and I'm bringing you along. When the day's jury ends, it's here where I belong. No one ever listens to the things I say, but I'm glad I have you all trancing in my dreams today. Now it's getting pretty late, so I bid good night. Sleep well, my friends, once more, until we meet again tomorrow night. End poem.
Great read. Very nice. Okay, well, Duke, would you like to start off the comments, please?
You know, I think that this is a perfect write, obviously about the prompt, but just how deeply we can find kind of solitude and comfort and companionship and, you know, you name it, just from nature. You know, I think that it's kind of a true kind of sentiment that there's people out there that don't really necessarily feel like they fit into society, but they do fit in out in amongst nature and amongst animals and, you know, butterflies and the bugs and, you know, and dreaming, you know, And so I just thought that this was a very unique write, and she captured the prompt very well.
Great. Thank you for your comment. Dan, what did you think of this piece?
Yeah, it was very, very beautiful. And I agree with Dex. Such a great dreamlike quality, and I really like the part of had a special gift no one knew she had, because your dreams are kind of your own. And I like the part of the night. I relate to this. That's honestly how I fall asleep. I come up with stories in my head. I dream them almost like a movie. I start thinking of stories, and that's how I fall asleep. And so I can picture this girl kind of doing the same thing. You know, she's just going off in the dreamland and going in this kind of special relationship or connection she has with butterflies. And like Dex also said, you know, that nature connection. So very beautiful and absolutely perfect on the prompt. So great job, Passions.
Ray, what did you think of the piece you read?
Yeah, you know, I thought it was beautiful. It had a dreamlike quality to it. You know, you can picture this scene happening with all these insects, the butterflies and the ants and the snake all coming to her to converse and seek company. You know, some people have that gift of being able to connect with creatures that are not of the same race. And, you know, I thought that was captured brilliantly in this piece.
I agree. I also I thought she did a splendid job of interpreting the prompt. I love that she's named some of the butterflies. And as you were reading, I had a vision of the one of the scenes from Disney's Cinderella, where all the little animals come in to wake Cinderella up in the morning. With the birds and the squirrels and the chipmunks and what have you, and it just reminded me of a version of that where she's got the butterflies and her little friends putting her to sleep. So it's just a beautiful, very serene piece, and it matches the serenity on the illustration space. So well done. All righty, we have finished up the last contest. Let's dive in to our new batch.
Absolutely. This one's called Wings of Music by Randy G. And Randy called in last time to the show, and that was great. I was really excited for him to do that. And but I will give this one a read. But if you want to talk about the contest first, Captain, that would be great.
Yeah, let's quickly. All righty, I'm looking for the – there we go. I left the tab open so I had reference to. Okay, the contest was called The Metaphorical Realism of Vladimir Kush. And so everyone knows that I'm not making these things up. I actually go to the artist's website to see what they call their art, and that's what he calls his. So I borrow from that. It's like I would look at it and go, what the hell would you call it? But he does some wonderful it's surrealist. There's a lot of nature woven into each of his pieces. He's got butterflies. He's got flowers. He's got all kinds of insects and wildlife. It's very, very interesting the way he has rendered things like flowers and sunrises and insects and snails, fruit. And he's personified so much of this. I mean, he's got a pair of scissors there that are a man and a woman crisscrossed, which I thought was great. I don't think anybody wrote to it, but he's got some really wonderful things in here. And so I think this is fertile ground, and we had some really outstanding poetry. So let's get to it.
Absolutely. Again, this is by Randy G. Very honored to read him. It's called Wings of Music. To prompt number 9, but it's he posted it right on the poem. Maestro Danius Plexippus walks onto the stage, a pianist of renown in this year's musical rage, exciting pupa as they peer out of their cocoon. The tension in the air is felt throughout the room. Curtains open for the Garden Philharmonic, spotlights and crescent moon lighting the dark. As he caresses each key, the notes begin to fly all across the garden and into the midnight sky, the piano resounding as though it has wings, while those ebony and ivory keys do their thing. Tune as sweet as pollen to this captive crowd. It's building toward a crescendo thrillingly loud. Then Maestro jumps on the piano like Jerry Lee, motioning to the audience to their unbridled glee. And this grand finale unfolds its bold display, and the crowd shed their cocoons and all fly away. End poem.
Great read. Great read. Well done. Gray, would you like to start off the comments, please?
Sure. You did a great read with that, Dan. And, you know,
you.
I like the poem. You know, I thought he captured the prompt brilliantly. You know, the way he flows through it is quite magical, as well as the scenery. And, you know, I thought it was just brilliantly penned.
Thank you. And Dex, what were your thoughts about this piece? First to Dex. Uh-oh. Dex underwater? Dex, are you with us still?
Back on the phone, sorry. These stupid Skype calls drop all the time. I can comment now, and then maybe he'll get back.
Right. Well, in the meantime, could you tell us, Dan,
yep.
what you thought of the...
Absolutely. I thought it was so much fun and very, very clever. I like... I'm glad I read it first, because it kind of made me laugh. The Maestro Danius Plexippus. I thought that was really fun. And then the Philharmonic... Monarch. Was really, really good. It was a great play on words, and, you know, music and but on a deep end, music and nature have so much together. You know, you can, if you look at a lot of pieces, there's so many different pieces that are written about nature, that are written about the natural world, that you can kind of feel that specifically. So I thought it was a lot of fun. And then you know, the last line I really liked, the crowd shed their cocoons and fly away. You know, I remember before I ever saw Carlos Santana in concert, which he's one of my favorites to see, I remember on the train in Boston sitting there, and these kids came on, and they literally had smiles on their faces the whole time they were driving on the train for like 20 minutes. And I was watching, and I listened to them like, what's going on with these kids? And they came from a Santana concert. And I didn't understand that until I saw him. So that when he's just one of those guys you walk out elated after you've ever seen him. And so it kind of reminded me of that. So I thought he really captured music and nature beautifully.
He is a very energetic musician and very uplifting music. Well, thank you. Have you managed to get Dex back with us?
I am back.
Hey!
I thought Randy captured it brilliantly. You know, the tension in the air is felt throughout the room. The curtains open. The monarch spotlights, crescent moon. You know, just a great rhyme and flow throughout. But he did a very the painting justice here by really capturing the moment and the feelings and the emotions in the air. So very well done.
Great comment. I also liked, I really enjoyed his wordplay in this with the Garden Philharmonic and the maestro's name and how he has in the last stanza, motioning to the audience to their unbridled glee, the grand finale unfolds, its bold display, the crowd sheds its cocoons and all fly away. Wonderful. Great great whimsical humor here, great rhyming pattern, it reads beautifully, and I agree with you, Dan. The union of music and poetry or writing is, you know, it just... it's legendary, or music and nature, I should say. You've got Beethoven's Pastoral and Camille Saint-Saëns. You've got nature inspiring music all the time. So this is a great way to open. the piece or open the pro. I can do this. I really can. I open the contest entries. So okay, who got next?
Yeah, I want to post one now. I'm just going to give another plug for Music in Nature. For those of you who know who George Winston is, he's a solo piano artist. He to me is a master. He actually has most of his stuff is about nature and seasons. Big fan. If you guys want to check him out, anyway.
Hey Dan, I don't mean to cut you off, but after this one, would you mind getting mine up? I got to roll here pretty soon.
Oh sure. Oh. Give me a second here, and I'll
we can do this one you posted. I still got 20 minutes or so. But
okay.
I only got a little bit of time.
Yeah, absolutely. No problem at all.
Oh,
definitely
we'll get you
do
up
that.
Next.
And but for this one here, very excited. I really like Scott Sharp. And this one is called Oh Baby. And I think that's perfect for you to read, Bobby.
Oh Baby. A baby was wrapped in a seashell on the seashore, swaddled in sunshine, making impressions in the sand. Sea breeze sang lullaby, warm winds erased paths from the past. As new waves lapped at the shoreline, dreams set sail for distant shores. The moon winked in the sky, beyond spiraling clouds, and the sun rode away into the night. And on. Okay, so... Dex, would you start off the comments, please?
Yeah, this piece, you know, really describes well that late night on you know on the beach on the ocean. At the shoreline, dreams set sail for distant shores. The moon winked in the sky. Just clever phrasing that he uses throughout seashore swaddled in sunshine. You know, there's a little alliteration that he mixes in throughout. But, you know, I thought that this is just a very good job of that finally kind of relaxing and the letting dream set in and cutting out, so very well done.
Dreamlike quality, good observation. Gray Eyes, what did you think of S. Sharp's piece?
I thought you did a wonderful read with it, Bobby. But you know, it's engaging, you know, and it's enchanting in its descriptive nature. As new waves lapped at the shoreline, dreams set sail for distant shores. Just a beautiful write.
Wonderful, great comment, Dan. What did you think?
Sorry, mutating there. It was very, very beautiful. You know, and the thing about the picture I loved was the baby wrapped in the seashell. His beautiful, just contentive smile on that. And I think everybody's comments are correct, or is kind of dreamlike, but just very, very warm and inviting. You know, where it says sea breezes sang lullabies, warm winds erased paths from the past. So you can see that in the baby smile on the picture. So, as usual from Scott, beautiful, beautiful poem, very descriptive of the painting.
Great comment. I deliberately posted that one first. I just loved the serenity of the whole piece and the baby's face. And this being swaddled in the seashell, I thought was just an inspired interpretation. I really like what S. Sharp did with his interpretation of the prompt, and this is actually a very economical write. There's not a lot of words, not a lot of lines, but great visual imagery and great storytelling. So well done, and thank you. And let's get Mr. Bailey up there.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
I apologize having a split so soon tonight.
We'll get any dessert. That's all. I mean, you know, you leave early.
Yeah, no worries. We figured I figured that you know, might be interesting for people on this Easter weekend. You know, a lot of people probably have guests and stuff, so no worries. But I have yours up, and go ahead and give it a read when you like.
All right, thank you. This is Compassion for Me by Duke of St. Paul.
sitting sideways next to my ego on the edge of no return. His shame reflects like a mirror of sadness across the calm tide. Hoping paradise's warm embrace holds me tight enough to trigger a familiarity that refills my growing dark pit with the sands of faith. A lifetime of constructing a foundation of confidence, brick by brick, to withstand the onslaught of conformity and the illusion of success that ticks with the menacing vibrations of a bomb, leaving the need to hire a drill sergeant to serve as my inner monologue. We all stagger through life fluctuating between two stages. One is needing a kick in the ass, the other is needing a hug. The pain inflicted by my negligence to recognize the latter has deteriorated my outlook like a sunken, rusted Chevy behind an old barn. Spiritually, I wrapped my arm over the shoulder of my self-worth, the affection I've never allowed for. A ripple of inner peace spreads into the abyss, acting as nature's visual reminder that setting just ahead in the distance, the horizon still shines bright. End poem.
Outstanding read. Thank you so much. And Gray, let's get some comments for this piece.
Yeah, you did a wonderful read on that, Dex. And, you know, the poem itself is introspective and self-reflective. You know, it's deep and it's engaging. You know, it carries a sense of needing self-worth, and, you know, you allow yourself that in the end. I thought it was beautifully expressed. Excellent job.
Thank you.
You bet.
Dan, what were your thoughts about Dex's piece?
Yeah, beautiful read, Dex, and I love I love poems of hope that are actually very kind of dark, but that end is hope, because that's kind of how it is a lot, right? Hope comes when you're at your darkest time. Otherwise, you don't really need it. So I think that was really great, and I love the imagery and the words that you used here with you know, especially the one is needing a kick in the ass, the other is needing a hug. I neglect to recognize the latter. I think is definitely a really important one. I also like a sunken, rusted Chevy behind an old barn. I thought that was a really interesting and fun, a fun take on that. But I really did enjoy it a lot, and just a beautiful take on the prompt. Great job.
Thank you.
And I also thought this was an inspired interpretation of the prompt, and as per your want. This is a very complex piece, very layered, deeply philosophical. I really enjoyed brick by brick to withstand the onslaught of conformity. Great line, and the illusion of success that ticks with the menacing vibrations of a bomb. And of course, and you hit me home, deteriorating my outlook like a sunken rusted Chevy behind an old barn. Well, barn finds and yard finds are one of my passions. So that got my attention. But spiritually, I wrap my arm over the shoulder of my self-worth. Again, beautiful phrasing. Your metaphors in here are just wonderfully phrased, and just entire the whole piece, especially when you look at the illustration, has that hourglass quality to it, and you invoked the sense of time in your piece. So I thought that was a great layering of that in there. So well done, Dex, and thank you for contributing that to us.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I could probably hang for one more.
Awesome.
All righty. Who we got up next?
Well, we have a treat, as always, because this is by RoseWinter515, called Blue World. Those following along, it's prompt 36, the very last one. And Gray, if you want to give that one a read.
Sure. Okay, this is by RoseWinter515, and it's called Blue World View. Blue World View. Darling ship of dreams sings peace. Butterfly wings are sailing trees. white feet swaying in the breeze, riding and surfacing the seven seas. End poem.
Wonderful read. Thank you. And then,
thank you.
So you can, before you leave, you can tell us what you think of Rose Winter's piece, please.
You know, this really kind of just, I mean, it's obviously a brevity, but it does say a lot in it. It has all of the, I guess what you would say, correct metaphors used without, you know, the breeze, the seven seas, the butterfly wings, the ceiling, using the term peace. I thought that she did what she had to for being a brevity. So very well done.
Great comment. Thank you. And Gray, you did a beautiful job of reading this piece. What did you think of it?
Well, you know, I thought it was a beautiful expression of the prompt. You know, you can feel yourself with the winds of the ocean upon you as you sail on this ship. And I thought it was just a fantastic poem.
Great. Thank you. Dan, what did you think of
Yeah, absolutely. Same as everybody else. It was really lovely. And I really enjoyed the fact that she rhymed the last three lines and not the first one. To me, that kind of almost represents the ship taking off, right? The first one is where they're daring ship of dreams, so it's daring, and then butterfly wings are sailing. So now it starts sailing. That's where the harmony comes in. That's where the blue worldview comes in. So now everything's rhyming and together. So I like the composition part of it well, too. So beautiful job, as always, from Rose Winter.
Yes, I think it was a superb brevity with four lines. She has told us a story, a beautiful story, and even though she doesn't have the first line rhyming, if you listen to it, she's got the assonance there. You've got peace, trees, breeze, and seas. So she's got her assonance locked on there. She did a good job on that. But the butterfly wings are sailing trees. She's got such beautiful visual imagery in this very brief piece, and I especially like the title, because the prompt that she chose has a very brilliant blue background to sailing ship with dragonfly wings on it. So thank you, Rose Winter, for that beautiful piece. And who have we got next? Do we have to tuck you in next? Did we lose him already?
I think Dex left,
yeah.
Yeah.
Out of a gun. I was going to suck him in. Okay. All righty. Well, Dex, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it. Hope to hear you on our next show. And who was that next, please?
Yes, I am very honored because I'm going to read one of my favorite people on this that I always like to listen to, Afasiana. And here she goes. This is called Resting Reader. So sleeps the naked mind bound in scarlet leather, for she betwixt blue shade, sunbathes, and knowledge, held up by well-worn pages, her thoughts repose. Feathered memories saving her place, those who make books their pillows, plant seeds of inspiration for dreams. End poem.
Great,
I apologize. I just realized I might have skipped some. I'll go in better order next time. I can't remember what his turn was.
I wanted to read that, but that's okay. I'll get over it. Let's get some comments, Gray. What did you think of Afasiana's poem?
I thought it was a brilliant poem for a brevity. You know, it packs a big punch in it. Those who make books their pillows, plant seeds of inspirations to dream. You know, how true is that? Such a beautiful poem.
Great comment. Thank you. Dan, what did you think of the piece you read?
Well, knowing that she works for a library, surprised that she picked this one. I absolutely loved Feathered Memories Saving Her Place. That's one of those lines I wish I wrote. And that is really interesting that, you know, that those memories saving her place. So you go back and you remember, okay, this is where I left off. So that was just absolutely beautiful. Yeah, she did a great, great job with this.
I agree. I like a phasing on his writing. And after having learned that she works in a library, when I post artwork like this in the contest, I think I hope Viziana spots this and contributes something and she, you know, there were a couple of book oriented illustrations in this one, but I like what she's done here. So sleeps the naked mind, bound in scarlet leather. What a great opening line! I mean, she's just in that first line, she has captured the entire piece of artwork, just so beautifully done. She betwixt blue shade, sunbathes in knowledge, calling out the color of the draperies around her. She's just done such a beautiful word painting of this, and that I agree with everyone that the last line is quite stunning. The plant sees the inspiration for dream. So, Afasiana, thank you for this beautiful piece you sent us, and let's see who else we have to read.
Absolutely, and we have a good one coming up next, and I'll let you read this one, Bobby. This is, I lost it already here. This is, where are we? Seeking the Blue, yep, by Unapologetically LMB, and this is for that last prompt again, number 36.
Yes, yeah, she had, I was trying to rearrange things because I noticed the first batch of artwork out there wasn't generating any interest. So I kind of pulled out another sampling, and she said, where'd that one, the dragonflies, go? I said, it took a sale, it's coming back, and I reposted it. So I was glad that she had made a point of asking for this, and then she gave us this beautiful piece. So here we go. Seeking the Blue by Unapologetically LMB. I long to board a ship and sail to sea, trust myself to waves unbridled, wild, a leap of faith, away from land I flee. Sea life is hidden deep below, swims free, oblivious to danger as a child. I long to board a ship and sail to sea. My vessel will seek shelter on the lee of islands where no heart can be defiled, a leap of faith, away from land I flee. A prayer to God for safety, hear my plea. May I find calmer waters, weather mild. I long to board a ship and sail to sea. I've roamed the world, embraced strange shores with glee, again enticed by ocean's call, beguiled, a leap of faith, away from land I flee. Long days now stretch ahead, my dreams the key, until sweet chance on me once more has smiled. I long to board a ship and sail to sea, a leap of faith, away from land I flee. End poem. Wow, that was gorgeous. That was gorgeous. But I'm going to save my comments for last. I'm going to ask you, Gray, what do you think of this piece?
I thought you did a beautiful read on it, Bobby. But, you know, the whole poem is captivating and engaging. It takes you on a journey to these faraway lands with this person. And, you know, I've roamed the world, embraced strange shores with glee, again enticed by ocean's call, beguiled, a leap of faith away from land I flee. You know, a wonderful adventure awaits the intrepid, for sure.
Wonderful comment. Thank you. Dan, what did you think of this piece?
Yeah, this is absolutely gorgeous. I'm going to comment, first of all, we have a crazy thunderstorm coming through, so if I disappear, that's what happened. Then I'll come back as soon as I can.
Yeah.
I absolutely loved it, and I kind of like how she put that, you know, I pray to God for safety, hear my plea, may I find calm waters. I felt like and she called it a villanella, and I really felt like an old world kind of feel to this. And I liked how she said that prayer to God for safety, because you could always kind of see that, you know, these it's always amazing to me, these people out in these little sailing ships in the middle of the ocean, you know, how scary sometimes when the big storms came that must have been. But I just thought it was so beautiful, especially the compositional part of it and the rhyming. This just had a real classical feel to it. So fantastic job.
I agree completely. It did have a very classical feel. I think we've had a Villanella from her before, and she does such a superb job on them. And this one, of course, is just another example of that. And the storytelling and the way she has arranged the rhymes and the thoughts within it, I think she's done a beautiful, beautiful job of interpreting a very lovely hot prompt. So I'm glad that she asked, where did it go? I put it back, and we got this beautiful beautiful piece of poetry from her. So thank you for that. And who do we have next?
Sure. We have somebody that I just discovered I'm becoming a fan of, Sydney Pierce. And this is called The Moon Is But a Pearl. She has the image on her page there and on the poem. And if you could read that, Gray, that would be great.
Sure. The Moon Is But a Pearl by Sydney Pierce. The moon is but a pearl, glinting flawlessly, just out of reach. She is pried open from her daytime oyster shell each night to warm the sands with her candlelight. She weeps for the theory that only a man could occupy such a space. What good is the man in the moon if he doesn't exist? Man must coax her out, but he has no way to close her back in. She is power and grace personified. End of poem.
Excellent read. Beautifully done. Beautifully done. Would you like to begin the comments? Tell us what you thought of the piece you just read.
Yeah, I thought it was just a beautiful write. You know, it captures, it personifies the moon in such a way that man doesn't have any power over her. And I thought that was just beautiful because we don't.
Great comment. Dan, what did you think of this piece?
Yeah, it's a really, really great take on the prompt. Like I said, I kind of just discovered Sydney and have been entranced by her poetry. And I really like the imagery, but also kind of the idea of, you know, because it is true. I mean, I don't necessarily see it as a man, but you do see kind of, you know, the man in the moon and different different masculine things there, and she's kind of reaching it out. Why do I need the man in the moon? Why do I need that? You know, but I have, you know, I have power and grace instead. So I really, really kind of enjoyed the intricacy and the masculine feminine kind of ideas that she had in this as well too. So it was, you know, very intricate but beautiful and descriptive at the same time of the prompt. So great job, Sydney.
Great comment. I also enjoyed her interpretation of this. I looked at it and saw sunset, but the fact that she talked about the moon being a pearl, which makes perfect sense. And I don't know if her reference to a woman was intentionally a reference to Greek mythology, because you've got Diana, the goddess of the moon and the goddess of the hunt. And she's represented the moon by a woman and not the man in the moon. So I think that she's hearkening to Greek mythology there, which I think is a great comment. And I like it. What good is the man in the moon if he doesn't exist? Again, I think I'm thinking of Greek mythology. Man must coax her out, but has no way to close her back in. She is power and grace personified, which suggests to me Diana, you know, the Greek goddess. So I love the way she's interpreted this piece of artwork, brilliantly done. So I think I'm going to have to start following her too. All righty. Thank you for that, Sydney. And who do we have next?
Yes, so we have the always entertaining and beautiful Martha Gettle, called You Are the Key, and this is to the a prompt you were talking about with the key and the X and O, and I believe there's a sound cloud for that. If we could get that played.
Technical expert is probably working on that right now.
You Are the Key by Martha Gettle. You are the key to my heart. It's been you right from the start. And when I look at you, my heart soars, it's true. That look in your eyes makes my heart lift and fly. And when you touch me, baby, I know my heart could never, ever let you go. You're the key that unlocks my heart. You blow my defenses all apart. And I bow to the love in your eyes. You turn my heart into a thing that flies. Yes, to my heart, you are the key, the only one that unlocks me. You know what I need before I even do. And I could never love anyone but you. You're the key that unlocks my heart. You blow my defenses all apart. And I bow to the love in your eyes. You turn my heart into a thing that flies. No matter how I searched, I know I'd never find another key that fits this heart of mine. So I'll hold you close, you feel so right, and we'll let love fill our days and nights.
Oh, sing it, Martha. My goodness. She gave us quite a performance tonight. Wow. Gray, what did you think of Martha's piece?
Yeah, you know, I thought you captured the prompt brilliantly. You know, you are the key to my heart. It's been you right from the start. And when I look at you, my heart soars. It's true. You know, you can feel that sometimes when the right person comes into your life. I thought it was just a beautiful expression of love and endearment.
You know, that was a great comment. Dan, what did you think of Martha's poem? Song.
Yeah, definitely one of Martha's best and most passionate, I think. I mean, she really got into it. I got to say about Martha, she really seems to have no end to the amount of love poems and the amount of melodies that she can come up with. I mean, she really doesn't. It's amazing to me how she can keep on doing that. So great job, Martha. And I agree with Gray. It's just very, very beautiful. You know, again, one of hers that I could see as a hit country song. You know, I really can. I mean, she just has this way of just, you know, really kind of bringing beauty to these words. So awesome job, Martha.
Yes, she does capture the sentiment so beautifully, and as with all her other pieces, just so filled with genuine affection. A very down-to-earth, realistic feelings. I think we inspired her to do one of her best pieces. I really love the way she interpreted the prompt. I like that she chose that one. When I saw it, I thought, oh my goodness, I wonder what Martha's done with this. And she did such a beautiful job. So thank you, Martha, for the SoundCloud. And thank you for the beautiful piece of poetry. So who's next?
Yes, very excited for this one. And this is by Versus Goliath called Molded Presence. And I think it is your turn, Bobby.
It is? Okay. Okay, I like Versus Goliath's job. Molded presence, and the prompt is, it's an interesting one. It shows, I would say, almost like a transparent person going down a set of stairs. You can see right through them, past them, or around them. Anyways, it's almost like a phantom. So, molded presence. Form is an illusion, much like beauty, to its beheld view. Conformity is a choice, comparing oneself to what others do. Sequoia woods sung like angelic choir, secret owls hoot along, drone, echo. Once nature's beat inspires. Steel-toed leaf crunchers step on steep road beneath orchard's awning. Steel marble and cerulean ocean. Mossed stone buildings, relics as structures go. These were well constructed, awesome, divine in their existence. Solemn care in how each placement conducted. Calcium deposits where rain dripped. Sodium carnivore seeks its prey. Walls reducted. Man, a being of cause, seen as an imprint in casual action, and see air to humanity reflect means mirrors important reaction and breathe the value of a fleck. Glass sky, this withering orb's shield, cracked rain cloud covers yield. Ray, warm skin reddens, at last thy beam beckon, soothsaying universal lesson. Place in grand painting comes from chosen imitating. End poem. Wow. That's a really impressive draw from that particular prompt. Gray, what did you think of this?
I thought you did a beautiful read on it, Bobby. But, you know, I really like the opening stanza. Form is an illusion, much like beauty to its beheld view. Conformity is a choice, comparing oneself to what others do. You know, that's so insightful and deep to start off the poem, and then it goes on throughout, you know, with introspection and reflection. So I thought it was just a beautiful poem.
Very insightful on that first stanza. Dan, what did you think?
Yeah, I definitely agree with Gray. First thing I actually want to do is say hi to my son. Hi, Danny. He's actually listening to the show right now, so I want to thank him for doing that.
Danny.
This is absolutely absolutely beautiful and such a great take on the prompt. You know, the idea of this man walking down this path, and he's kind of part molded into the man-made walkway that he's on, and then part molded into the nature and how, you know, she gets into that and really kind of talks about all those different aspects of things that kind of we make, but how nature is together and how man is also, you know, man of being cause and effect sees an imprint in casual action, land, sea, air to humanity reflect means mirrors important to reaction. I mean, it's so interesting, this poem, where it really, in my opinion, it's that everything is one, everything is together, and we're all just kind of, you know, in this world together. It's not just humanity that's doing that, but it's everything that we make and all of nature. It's all really has to mold in and be in harmony. And she just did an amazing job in saying that, something, you know, that idea expressed like I've never seen it before. So really, really beautiful. I think one of Versus' best as well too.
Oh, don't hold back. Tell us how you really feel. No, I agree with you. This is a very complex piece, very, very complex, very detail-oriented. The way she's gone about interpreting the prompt is really quite quite stunning, with the way she's composed her metaphors in this and the rhyming structure, which changes, which I like. So you can't just get into a rhythm and get locked in. You've got to pay attention. but man, a being of cause and effect, seen as an imprint in casual action. A land, sea, air to humanity reflect means mirrors important to reaction. Beautifully said, and the first stanza is really quite profound. But this is from start to finish, a really stunning piece, very nicely done. So thank you, Versus Goliath, for this beautiful piece. And what have we got next?
Well, we have a treat for you again, Bobby, because someone else who wrote about the key, and that would be Gray. So, Gray, if you want to read yours.
Sure. Can you read for us?
Thank you. This is based on Prop 15 of your contest, and it's by me, Gray I. Smith, and it's called The Key. They are the key, he a him and her a she. Together they unlock a world beyond. This realm will open once the keyhole is found. A realm of magic and peace, where clouds blanket like fleece, and their love will never cease. Their world will be filled with peace. End poem.
Beautifully done. What a wonderful read and what a wonderful brevity you had for it. Dan, what did you think of Gray Eye's contribution?
Yeah, I love the Gray. Anybody reads my poems? No, I never stop. I keep writing. It's hard for me to write brevity, so I always am awed and amazed when people write brevities with such profoundness in it, like you did here, Gray. Simple thought of, the key to love and to the world is to be at peace and harmony with each other. But the way you did it was just so beautiful and so deep. Together they unlock the world beyond. A realm will hold open once the keyhole is found. Really beautiful and profound. And I love how the harmony of the rhyming in the second verse came to play. So it's kind of like once you find that key, everything's in harmony, everything's rhyming. And to rhyme it with the word peace as well, too, is just beautiful. So I thought it was composed amazing as well. Great job, Gray.
Thank you, Daniel.
I enjoyed your brevity very much, Gray. I like the second stanza especially. I like, and their love will never cease. The world will be filled with peace. That is so lovely, and I really enjoyed your interpretation of the prompt that you selected. So thank you for contributing this to the contest. I really, really appreciate it and really enjoy it.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. Moving right along, Mr. Dan.
Yeah, we're going to crank along here, and this is by another one of my new favorites to read now, Cassia F., and I think it is actually my turn, so I will do it. This is to prompt number 17 for those following along. It's called Below as Above. Enriched by your essence, golden light you held within my spine, flown through rivers, I felt absolute contentment. I remember Atlantis. My love for you held the waters in its depth. Above and below, glow of rays explode, the master can only explain. One soul, one heart, the magic of life as we flow into the mystic of this glorious light. I can feel your words upon the waters below, see us as we flow. Existence, love builds, simplicity of touch. Lotus ignites the fire as passion climbs the invisible. Angels sing a song. I felt it in every stroke. Dust of the moon explodes in silver to turn into gold. Rapture, a new direction, golden echoes touching the Mother Earth we stand. Below as above, for eternity we will be. End the poem.
Excellent read. Nicely done. Nicely done. Gray, would you like to start a comment?
Sure, you did an excellent read on that, Daniel. But,
The poem
is filled with reverence and love, throughout. Enriched by your essence, golden light you held within my spine, flown through rivers, I felt absolute contentment. You know, when somebody makes you feel absolute contentment, that's a beautiful thing. So I thought it was just a wonderful poem.
Thank you. Wonderful comment. Daniel, what did you think of the piece that you read?
Yes, I did get to read it, and it was beautiful as always from Cassia. very, very interesting take. So the prompt itself was kind of like an angelic prompt for the painting, and kind of the way she took it towards love and the souls. And I really enjoyed the very interesting. I remember Atlantis, my love for you held in the waters in its depth. Almost like the person is they're standing on the shore and they're looking out and kind of remembering. They're talking about Atlantis as a sign for like a lost, you know, love. Is Atlantis supposed to be this great, beautiful city? So that was really, really beautiful. And I also liked, I felt in every stroke, the dust of the moon explodes into silver and to turn into gold. I mean, how awesome is that stanza? So great job, Cassia.
I agree. Great comment and her interpretation of that particular prompt. You're right. It has a very celestial feel to it. A man and a woman holding a glowing orb, and they're inside a golden cloud curls, and the people on the shore are looking up at them, and it almost does look like Atlantis below them in the background. It's just is so is the impression that she gives us from her words is one of angelic peace and happiness, and it's a great storytelling, beautiful metaphors, beautiful flow. I really enjoyed her interpretation of that particular prompt. I was looking at that and going, oh, my God, I couldn't imagine what to write to that. But she has captured it very artistically. So, Cassia F., for that beautiful piece of poetry. Kevin?
Yeah, and we'll move along here. We're cranking right along. I figured we wouldn't have, you know, too many guests tonight with the Easter weekend. A lot of people are Easter weekend, Passover's here. A lot of people are busy, so we're just gonna crank along here. And we have one by Chinaski, who is gave us a SoundCloud as well. So I just posted that.
Hey.
Embracing echoes under whispers of crashing waves, billowing, breathing, rapidly moving, heaving horizons toward the sun. A lifetime lingering, motionless, tossing dust upon shores, kissing beautiful scars, touching delicate life to reappear. Stars dropping thick, heavy moons into a twiggy nest. Tuscany trees picket, silhouette fences, illuminating sand, sleeping under ocean, dipping into each night with the memories. The gray seagull died in voiceless departure, resurrected as an ageless, immaculate seashell crawling out of the sea. Curled into a comfortable cocoon, the womb, shaking crystalline pods, discharges itself from a tree, fallen, pirouetting pine cones into landscapes, a hardened hand with no lifeline, roads bunched into a knot. The knot is myself.
Wow, stunning, stunning SoundCloud. Beautifully done. And Gray, would you like to start our comments, please?
Yeah, you know, I thought it was a beautiful SoundCloud as well. But, you know, the one that really got me was the gray seagull died in voiceless departure, resurrected as an ageless, immaculate seashell crawling out of the sea. It was just a wonderful write, you know, curled into a comfortable cocoon, the womb shaking crystalline paws, discharges itself from a tree, falling pirouetting pine cones into landscapes, a hardened hand with no lifeline, roads bunched into a knot, the not is myself. And then also, you know, he brings it all together in his author's notes, as he says, it also serves as a dedication to the loss of my very best friend today, always with memories on ocean shore, sleeping in a cocoon. I'm lost without direction and tied into a knot. Yeah, just a haunting ending to that.
Thank you for reading the author's note for us and for your great comment. Dan, what did you think of Chinaski's poem?
Chinaski's he's a great poet. He really is. Always look forward to reading his. I agree with Gray. The Gray Seagull died in the voiceless departure, resurrected as an immaculate, ageless immaculate seagull is seashell. Excuse me. Is really an amazing line, you know. And it's to the first prompt, the one of a sunset. And a baby in a seashell. And to me, this one had maybe because I'm just a sci-fi guy, but this had a real science fiction feel to it. And I thought that he kind of captured that because it was almost this fantastical little story he was telling, where he's talking about almost, you know, creation and how this, you know, this kind of fantastical, like I said, situation where the you know, this gray seagull dies and then comes up and kind of wraps itself around this baby to kind of for rebirth. So it was really just interesting. I also like illuminating sand sleeping under ocean, dripping into each night with the memories. That's just a lovely line there that he has. So It was very, very interesting. I'm also very curious. I'm wondering, I don't know if anybody knows if Chinaski plays guitar, because I thought the guitar was great in the background. I didn't recognize the song, so I don't know if he took it for somewhere that was him. I'm assuming that's him playing. Great job on the. Is it? He plays guitar. Yeah, it's a beautiful guitar. I actually really enjoyed the guitar on that a lot, and he did a great job. So awesome.
Incidental music was a very nice accompaniment to a beautiful piece. I know what it's like to lose a best friend. I lost two in 1 year. So you feel devastated, especially when you're used to calling that person and your life with them. So his tribute to his lost friend is beautifully done here. And while you got a sci-fi vibe from it, I got a reincarnation vibe from it. He talked about the loss of a friend, and here's a baby in a shell on the seashore. A new life after old life is gone. Here's new life emerging, and so I thought it was an interesting choice of prompts. And here's another interpretation of a prompt that was read earlier. And again, I always marvel at how different people see the same piece of artwork in such diverse ways. So, Chinaski, thank you for the beautiful SoundCloud and for the beautiful poem.
No, I agree with you on that. And it is very interesting to see how people take this. But what do you think just to diverse a little bit here, what do you think the comment, so far on all of our shows, I've always found like a common theme. What do you think, are you seeing any common themes in all of the poems we have today?
Really?
Anybody?
I did with Lisa, said, because all of the artwork was suggested children. So it had a very youthful to it. This, I'm sensing almost a spiritual, a very philosophical approach to the pieces in here. They're beautifully done so far.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing, and I think a lot of it is the colors that he uses kind of brings that out. And the way he kind of puts in man or man-made things into the universe, into the, you know, other parts of the world, into the still life sort of or natural world. So you can kind of, I think people are getting the idea of, you know, the melding within that. So, I saw the same thing. Gray, I don't know if you were seeing any, if you wanted to comment, if you saw any common themes at all. Diverting a little, I just thought I'd bring that up.
No, I don't.
Okay, no problem. All right, cool. Let's continue on here. And this is actually for you, Bobby. So we have one by Irish Rose, and this is called The Velvet Purse.
Yes. This is a little brevity. I really like what you did with this. The Velvet Purse by Irish Rose. And it is a pocketbook. It's a coin purse where the closing is a man and a woman embracing and kissing. So, like a burnished brass monkey, my lips fall hard on your bold bronze form as my arms gather up your velvety pouched roll that seals in the thin tokens and gold. End poem. I really enjoyed this. Dad, what did you think of this piece, this brevity?
Yeah, it was very, very interesting. She had everybody's been very, like we talked about, very spiritual, like, and she had kind of a fun play on it, right? Like, just kind of a fun little play, and it was very interesting. That seals the thin tokens in gold, I thought was a beautiful way to put it as well, too. But I really liked that, the take that she had on it. I thought it was great, and it is a really interesting painting that they have here. So great job, as always, Irish.
And Gray, what did you think of Irish Rose's interpretation of the prompt?
You know, I thought it was very captivating, right? You know, it is a magical description of the prompt. Gather up your velvety pouch roll that seals in thin tokens and gold. It's a fantastic poem. You did a beautiful read, Bobby.
Well, thank you. I enjoyed, when I saw this piece, of course, I think I'm part magpie because the red caught my attention. Shiny stuff. But this particular piece, I was charmed by it, the man and the woman as a closing on a coin purse. And the way she captured it, I thought was just bloody brilliant. I thought it was really inspired and enjoyed it very much. So, Irish Rose, thank you for that. And who we got next?
Yeah, we'll crank along here, and I got one up for you, Gray. I'm going to post it right now. And, this is Turbulence Contained by Truth Chills. I'm excited to read up new to me, so if you can go ahead, Gray.
Sure. Turbulence Contained. From far off distance, I see familiar feelings begin to manifest. As the sun sets, that shipwrecked feeling rises within as yet another situation turns into an obstacle that causes desperation to resurrect. I learned a long time ago that any and all feelings are under my control. Sooner or later, I succumb and sink or suit up and prepare for war. The battle is not won with fists or harsh, regretful words. It's a battle of wits in a mind that can't hide secrets. I learned long ago that when my heart overflows with emotions that know how to pull and tug at places that I'd rather not discuss, the outcome is infectious and really dangerous. Things that I can't, won't, or haven't dealt with threaten to condemn me daily, never mind my innocence in the things that happen to me. Feelings of despair occur when what's happening now is out of my control and my soul is tethered. Somehow, connect the two events together. And the beginning of a catalytic effect is on the brink of explosion. I am in a dangerous place, looking in the mirror. I recognize the face as if Jekyll and Hyde have taken up residence. One of the two things will take place, if not both, in which case there is no rest until the end begins. Have you ever wondered how things get so far out of control? If one word can set fire, what would two do? We are all equipped with a failsafe, the ability to walk away when fear overwhelms our natural state. But what if what you fear is coming from yourself? What then? Who could possibly help? I believe in salvation, redemption, restoration. Yes, I believe in the resurrection. The way we express ourselves through drawing, poetry, or telling of a story is a gift that God has given us. My way out is found in the pen. In my hand, this was my way of expression, a sort of confession, without retaliation from myself or any other connection. This portrait I choose depicts how things still take place in my life. The narrow place between the mountains represents the space in my head I have to work with. The calmness of the sea as it flows in and out. If you look close, you see that even if the things on the surface look great, my boat is halfway sunk, representing my ability to cope with whatever has come. If you look closer, you will see the handsome man next to me. He is the reason I maintain my sanity. Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. I am his iron, and he is mine. And I'll tell you what, our iron is always on point. So the answer is to find someone that helps you to find an outlet that has a tough skin, preferably iron, that won't wither when words fly, knowing that it's not all you at the time. Love conquers all, so be still, remain calm, and poem.
Great read, Gray. Absolutely. Bobby, are you there?
Yeah. Yes, I was mutating. I was being brilliant too, damn it. Dan, would you like to start our comments off? It was a great read,
sure,
Gray.
Sure. Yeah, Gray, that was an awesome read. Great job. There's so much in here. You know, it's very interesting what we were just talking about, common themes, and this is the same prompt that Dex wrote about. And kind of the same thing, where he wrote about redemption and how he's, you know, being able to see. I'm trying to find where it was here. There was someplace about the seeing the sun coming through the valley was kind of like in his head, and I'm trying to find where that was, because there's so much in here. But it was very interesting to see that, and also very interesting to see the love theme, which has come up in a lot of the poems as well, too.
Yeah.
I enjoy it. I mean, it was in the last stanza, okay.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, it's okay. Oh, there it is. Okay, yeah. So it says, portrait I choose depicts how things, this portrait I choose, so depicts how things I still take place in my life. The narrow place between the mountains represents the space in my head I have to work with. The calmness of the sea as it flows out. So the way that he saw this painting and was able to really see himself in it and the troubles they take, but then the like he says here, the I believe in salvation, redemption, and restoration. Yes, I believe in the resurrection. So being able to see that in there was just so great. There was, like I said, so much here. I'm in a dangerous place. Looking in the mirror, I recognize the face as it's as if Jekyll and Hyde have taken up residence. One of two things will take place, if not both, in which case there is no rest until the end begins. It is really, really interesting. You know, one of two things will take place of the Jekyll and Hyde, if not both, in which case there is no rest until the end begins. I had to read it again just to kind of understand it, where, you know, one of two, you know, you're going to be, you know, the Dr. Jekyll or Mr. Hyde is going to go, or you're going to be battling yourself, you know, and that happens a lot, right, where we have this kind of internal battle of, it doesn't even have to be good and evil. It can just be, you know, what am I supposed to do in this situation, or the good and evil within yourself, right? You're battling your own thoughts all the time. You're battling, you know, you're being, you know, the Mr. Hyde to yourself, where you're kind of, you know, attacking yourself and you're your worst person. But the way that he, Truth Chills put this in, that as far as the, how they can redeem themselves back again was amazing. So this is a great one. I'm going to have to read. I'll stop talking now. I could go on and on because there's so much here. You know, again, somebody that I was excited to read because I haven't again yet, but fantastic job. Great take in the prompt. I'm going to definitely read this again later on. Great job, Maria.
Yeah. Yes, and we're always glad to see a new writer contribute to the contest. So welcome, Maria, and thank you for a very introspective piece. There are a couple of things I noticed about this. A lot of depth of feeling in this, a lot of introspection, examining your own feelings, examining her feelings, how she lives her life, how she, her thought process. This is a very personal, intensely personal right, which I think is, you know, for her to share so much of herself in this piece is quite courageous. I also like the way she, her last stanza, I am his iron and he is mine, and I will tell you that what our iron is always on point. So the answer is to find someone that helps you to find an outlet, has tough skin, and they won't wither when the words fly. Beautiful piece of philosophy, and I don't know if she if she noticed this about her writing, but it's her writing, and I do this myself too on many occasions, and didn't notice it until I think someone else on one of the other programs pointed out this piece is very gender agnostic. It's profound feelings and emotions could be, this is a hetero a couple, because she says that he is my iron and I am his. But still, you could look at this and you could read it and you could interpret it as a man-man, woman-woman couple. So the fact that it's gender agnostic, I think, speaks volumes to the universality of emotion and people's feelings. So I say, well done, Truth Chills, and thank you so much for contributing this awesome piece to our contest. All righty, moving right along now.
Yes, we are moving right along. And I'm just seeing again, I'm going to remind, I have a big storm, it looks like, coming here. So if I do disappear, I apologize, but that's the reason why, nothing personal. So I'm going to put one up for myself, actually. Give me a second here. Okay. This is by another new writer to the show, who I was speaking to and was going to try to come on, but was definitely said would listen if not. So let me post this. This is called The Recounting by...
We have their poetry this time. Maybe next time we'll have them.
Absolutely. So again, this is called The Recounting by Joe Colt, and I'm going to give it a read. And again, those following along, this is, she said, prompts 4, 24, 27, and 30. So she was inspired by a lot of them. The Recounting. I woke before time began. Tick-tocking, wanting and wishing, manifesting its world of lack. Possibilities hung among opium street skies, its moon pearls ripe for picking infinite realisms. A shooting star fell into my wonder, cracking open the virgin shell. Out of the mystery spilled white feathered wings, soft as sweet nothings, breathlessly whispered into the ether. They flew beyond ideas of right or wrong, seeding pyramidal intentions in gratitude greenhouses. I blinked and found myself on a mountaintop, basking in a half shell filled with dew, as I humbly recounted my blessings. End poem.
Beautiful read. Well done. Nicely done. Gray, would you like to start off our comments, please?
Sure, you did a wonderful read on that, Daniel. But, you know, the poem is, it captures all of the prompts beautifully, you know. I wake before time began, tick-tocking, wanting, wishing, manifesting its world of lack. Possibilities hung amongst opium streaked skies as moon pearls ripe for picking infinite realisms. You know, the metaphors are just deep and powerful in this poem. I thought it was a beautiful write.
A great comment. Thank you. Dan, what did you think of this piece that you read?
I really liked it a lot. I read this earlier today, and I woke before time began is one of those lines. I said this earlier today that I wish I wrote. You know, like it's something I would have wrote, but I might have to actually steal it because I really really enjoyed that. And the recounting, so the way she's almost kind of it's almost kind of like she's recounting herself and connecting herself kind of to the universe and to where she came from. So there's so many really interesting imagery and just ideas here. I really like a shooting star fell into my wonder, cracking open the virgin shell. Out of the mystery spilled white feathered wings, breathlessly whispered into the ether. So it's a very interesting idea. I think so another theme that we've had through today is rebirth. We've had a few times, and I get that out of this one as well too. Just from those lines, and also from the title, the recounting. So I love that. I thought it was really interesting and very very in-depth. Another one I'm going to have to read again and really think about. So thank you very much, Joe, for bringing this into the contest and the show.
You're right. I hadn't until you pointed out there is a great deal of rebirth theme being visited in this, and considering that for Christians it's Easter weekend, I wish I could say that was calculated and deliberate, but it was not. This was a happy accident that this happened to fall on this particular weekend. So sometimes you just live right. But you're right. This is the metaphors, like you said, Gray. The metaphors in this are just gorgeous. Shooting star fell into my wonder, cracking open the virgin shell. And I looked at her prompts, and there were a seashell or there eggshells with the sun coming out, or with someone sitting in the eggshell, or there was that theme of emergence from a shell. Out of the mystery spilled white feathered wings, soft as sweet nothings, breathlessly whispered into the ether. Just beautifully done. I mean, very, very classical, very lyrical in its reading. So I thoroughly enjoyed that. So thank you for that, Joe Colt, and thank you for joining us in our contest. But who have we got next?
We have always the great Kay Heartless, which I'm excited to do as well. And I'm going to put this one up for you, Bobby. Give me a second here. And if you could start with Gray with the comments, because I'm just going to step away for 1 minute, but I'll be right back. So that is up, and you can, again, give this a read.
Tee this up here. I'm looking for it. I have to refresh my screen.
Yeah, it's called Book Cover Lover, and it, for those, again, following along, it is prompt number 20.
There it is. You have to be careful when you refresh your screen. He doesn't know where you want to land. Okay. We have Book Cover Lover by Kay Heartless. My book cover lover awaits my fingertips in leather thigh highs and matching gloves. She grasps the covers held by a million lovers, anxious to see what finger I put in her first. Spine amused me till I burst. In whatever position I repose, she will smirk before she shows what a sitting will be all mine. She likes it when I bite her spine, take it slow, line by line, call her hordes, or her darkest chapters. Discover deep within her hole the softest nub out of skin. I tickle till she lets me in. Then held open, exposed, I lick the lines of lust within her folds, and as I carefully read, as I read her perfume close, sniff her pages, stay on one for ages, so long as she begs to be turned, a spanking well earned. I smack her sides until I find what I seek within my willing comtesse erotique. And poem. Great. Let's get your thoughts on this.
Well, you did a beautiful read on it, Bobby, but the poem is deeply erotic, and, it's a fascinating take on the prompt. She grasps the covers held by a million lovers, anxious to see what finger I put in her first, ready to extend her spine, amuse me till I burst. In whatever I position I repose, she will smirk before she shows what for a sitting will be all mine. She likes it when I bite her spine, take it slow line by line, call her a whore, explore her darkest chapters. And, yeah, that was fascinating. Wonderful take on the prompt. Beautiful read, Bobby.
Thank you. I agree. But Daniel, are you back?
I am back. Yeah, that was, I caught most of it, so a beautiful read. And, yeah, very interesting take on the prompt. And, you know, to with you know, getting the romance of a book to the, you know, to romance kind of merging those, I thought was great. So beautiful as always from Kay Heartless. So great job.
I really enjoyed her interpretation of the prompt. It was very playful. It was erotic, but it was very playful. It was sensuality with laced with a bit of humor. I don't know if you notice in the illustration where she has at the top, the other books that are stacked next to her on the right all profile a man's face if you look at them. So she's got all of these other books studying her, which I think is quite interesting and very clever. And the way she's interpreted the prompt is, I think, just inspired. I really enjoyed how she told the story of the book, grasping the pages, and the last line, within my willing contest erotique. Beautifully done. So thank you for that. That was a great piece. Okay, who's...
Yeah, I'm going to post another one here. And just to be a little proactive, we actually only have two poems left. So we got a couple of choices here to either end a little early or we could kind of grab a couple of our own to read.
Or read slower.
Yeah, or read much slower. Yep, but we actually are getting done here tonight. We'll read
That's
very slow. Yeah, yeah.
Nope.
We're cranking along tonight.
So, I love it. I love it when a plan comes together.
Absolutely. So your call if you want to, you know, have us grab a couple of our own or if we want to end early, up to you. But right now I'm going to put one up by another new person that I'm not familiar with, so it makes me very excited. And this is called Infant Death by Kiss Gun. And if you wouldn't mind giving that a read, Gray, that would be great.
Sure. Just let me get to it here. Okay, Infant Death by Kiss Gun. A more exposed way of neglect, but not harmful intent. My painting was an infant eyes plucked out in the womb of Mother Earth. The surveyor of life reaches for glasses. While this is the image I want to capture, I at first denied the image I have chosen. However, excusing myself for the night after this one and the initial reluctance to see a place and meaning, I am going to release the vision of what I needed. This is a beautiful relationship between two elements, water and air, nourishing the baby. I could never disturb, only wait to be called upon. My heart desperately wants to cradle you. My mind looks for a reason to leave. I have nothing to offer you. Precious camouflaged sea baby boy, I found you, and now I'll need your needing me to signal the wind. I've developed my own bond. She knows I'll defend this relationship with my life, confident that I'm not going to sabotage the chance. Motherhood is a blissfully pure love, ignited the moment your hopeful eyes opened up, melting my inferiority and the cold heart warmed. I promise the rising of the sun I'll never shadow. I will learn more about you than you'll really appreciate. Son, I never thought I'd get you. End poem.
Outstanding read. Thank you. You did a great job on that. So, Dan, since this is a new write and you're all excited about this, tell us what you think.
I am all excited. First of all, I want to say the name Kiss Gun, I'm all about that. That's a fantastic name.
You have to tell us later why.
I was sold on the name there. But really, really, really interesting, and a very interesting name, Infant Death, where this is kind of all about the love between infancy. Now I'm wondering if she's talking about, you know, an infant that did pass away, but you're still feeling that love from a mother. And I really like that. You know, this is I think one of the more popular prompts, the one of a baby in a wrapped in a seashell, smiling, happy, right on the shore, and the beautiful way that she described, you know, in the womb of Mother Earth, the surveyor of life reaches for glasses. So Mother Earth compared to, you know, an actual mother is really great. Water and air nursing the baby. I could never disturb, only wait to be called upon. My heart desperately wants to cradle you. My mind looks for a reason to leave. I have nothing to offer you. Very, very interesting. And the last line is very heartfelt, right? Son, I never thought I'd get you. Motherhood is blissfully pure love, ignited the moment your hopeful eyes opened up, melting my inferiority and the cold heart warmed. You know, just the and, you know, I don't know if either you're parents or anybody listening, but it is a, you know, a interesting kind of changes your way when all of a sudden you're responsible for this little thing, this little baby, and it's, you know, it really kind of, it changes you instantaneously. And all of that is in here, so it's very, very interesting, really beautiful, and I love all the imagery, and again, the way that she, you know, combined motherhood to Mother Earth and nature. So fantastic job, Kiss Gun. It was great.
Great comment. Great. What did you think of this piece that you read for us?
You know, I thought it was a haunting take on motherhood. You know, the depth of love that she has for her son is just a powerful and intoxicating movement of poetry. I thought it was just beautiful.
You did a great job reading it. And haunting is a great description. I'm like you, Dan. When I read the title, I was like, uh-oh. And I thought it might have been a reference to lost child. But I'm not sure when I read it, because there is so much hope in it, and it's so much love in this. This is a very loving piece, almost reverential, about new life and motherhood and children, babies. It is a truly beautiful piece that Kiss Gun has given us here. So thank you, Kiss Gun, for the great contribution. And we're on the home stretch here. How much have we got left?
We got one more left.
Oh.
I think you have two with Louis. Yeah, one by
Miss Louis. How do we meet? Oh, you know what? We totally did miss Louis. How could I possibly do that? All right, I'm going to. I'm so sorry, Louie. How did I miss that one?
Bad host.
You know, it was funny. I was looking forward to Louie's, and I don't know how. You know what it was? I saw Gray's, and it was Gray's turn to read, and I was like, oh, let me get Gray's up, and that's where I had it in line. So, Louie, I'm so sorry.
It looks so much alike.
Exactly. Well, they're partners in crime in this thing. So yeah, we have two more, which we've just enough time for, which is great. Liu certainly one of my favorites, and I love her new picture, by the way. Check out her site, her new little avatar she has up is fantastic. So I'm going to be honored, and I'm going to read this one for Liu. One of my favorite people, certainly on here, one of the nicest people you'll ever talk to on this website. So this is called Quivering Passions. And let's give this a read here. Streaming, glistening moonlight, lipstream healing potions, breezes resonate, heartbeats. Snowflake blankets melt, nourishing mist covers in silver droplets, your green foliage. Dripping in fragrant honeybees, butterflies waltz, frolic the woodlands, and wildflowers. Rising tempest, I whisper, come caress my sterling waterfall strands. Color the streams of Eros. Tempt my curving curves with the warmth of emerald clovers, blooming spring pastures. Passions drowning in woodland scents. Cup my swollen veins, opening ground streams. Petals unlock tight furls, swelling to the taste drifts of luxuriant forest musty, narcotic entwined with sweet floral bouquets. Dripping pollen imprisoned as you paint glistening enchanted breaths as my waters succumb, pulsate in melody swirling in love's devotion.
Outstanding read.
End poem. Yeah.
Oh, oh baby, oh baby. Wow. Oh, Gray, what did you think of Moody Creek?
I thought Dan did a wonderful read of it. But, you know, the poem itself is deeply engaging, you know, and it's subtly erotic, you know, very sensual. And I thought she had fantastic imagery throughout. So just a beautiful poem.
Great comment. I agree with you completely. Dan, what did you think of this outstanding piece that you read?
It really is beautiful, and I love the prompt. I actually kind of, when I was looking through them, I forgot about this one, and it's a picture of a waterfall, and it's really well done, the picture of waterfall. The woman's hair is the water, and then the man's hair is kind of like the base of a tree in the ground, and they're both rocks. And I just, the way that she, the in touch with nature that I think Lulu has anyway, is just brought out here, and the way that it's you know, the natural way of love, and then the way that humanity should go back to nature. You know, I was thinking about this earlier today about how, you know, somebody on one of the other shows said that Dan seems to, that I seem to have a lot of in touch with nature, and to me, we are nature. You know, how can you not be in touch with nature? We're nature. We're animals. You know, and I think she has that beautifully in here. So, like, dripping and fragrant, honeybees, butterflies, waltz, frolic the woodlands and wildflowers, is just such a beautiful stanza that she has there. So I just love how she connected everything together like that. As always, awesome write from Lulu. Thank you for posting that.
Absolutely, and you're right. Well, she has a reverence for nature that I think is not only personal, it's cultural, and a deep appreciation for the earth. And it does shine through on her verse and beautifully. So in this one, the visual imagery is just so rich. Dripping and fragrant, honeybees, butterflies, waltz, frolic the woodlands and wildflowers, snowflake blankets melt, nourishing mist covers and silver droplets. It's just beautiful of visual imagery. The word picture that's painted in this and woven, threaded through it, is the sensuality of self and love. And it's just, this is a very rich piece. Very, very beautifully done. Now, thank you for contributing that to us, Lulu. Wonderful, thing as always.
And Gray, thank you for saving me from the embarrassment of forgetting that. And Lulu, thank you for saving us to have that perfect timing now. Now our timing is perfect, and we can end with the one poem because we're getting there. So, as usual, Lulu and Gray save the day. So I'm going to put up our last ho, hi, ho. Yes.
Is that
so,
Pam's?
No, am I missing another one? I didn't have one. I didn't see one by Pam.
Yeah, Pam's got one on there.
Jeepers creepers. I am like, how did I miss that one? Can you guys, I don't even have it on my list. Can we post that?
Look for the, Komodo dragon, down the side. And her piece is In Early Morning. And if you want, I can grab that.
Thank you, Gray, for posting that.
Yep.
Boy, I'm losing it tonight at the end here. But, yeah, go ahead. If you can read that, if you can read that, that would be great. Bobby?
Sure. And this was a beautiful piece of artwork. It's a flower represented, a bright, brilliant red flower represented by what looks like flames and people dancing. So it's quite lively. And it's called In Early Morning. In the rising of dawn, the feral grasslands awakened, lace wings fluttering. The henna flame blooms, a celebration of the spirit, as mysticism traces itself upon horizons of ash. Petals unfurling, mirror images to the realm of light. We seek to kiss the breath of life in bonfire memories, swaying and writhing, an orgy of minds opened to the enlightenment of possibilities. We dance for Horovod to honor the wind and the sea that rests in the womb of Vesna. Peeling scales from the luminous orbs, we find the virtuosic mutiny beyond the mundane. End poem. Okay, let's get some comments on this because we're running out of time. Gray, what did you think?
You know, you did a wonderful read on that, but, you know, it's a beautiful descriptive write filled with amazing imagery throughout, just a beautiful poem. She captured the prompt brilliantly.
Yes, agreed. Agreed. Dan, what did you think?
Yeah, it's absolutely beautiful, as always, from Pam. She's an amazing poet, and I see her getting better and better as the time goes on. In the rising dawn, the feral grasslands awakens, lace wing fluttering. So I like how she captured kind of that. You know, the centerpiece is this kind of flaming people, but there's these little butterflies there that I think she focused on, which I think was really, really amazing that she did that. So great job, Pam. Awesome, as always. I know what I did, too. I was looking at the contest, not the post, so I apologize. Anybody else that you guys can see that I missed besides Blatant B?
Oh, I think you... Go ahead. I'm sorry. I stepped... Yeah, I think... we've got everybody up there. I think we done good tonight, kiddo. We done good.
Well, we
I
got
like
one more.
Speak.
We got... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
We got
one more to read if we can. We got Blatant B. Jay, Gray, were you going to say something?
No, I was just going to say that.
Okay.
Let's
post it
and read them.
Yeah, and
Blatant B. Oh, yeah.
It too?
We can't leave without reading this one.
I love ending with Blatant B. He's a great one to end on, and I think this one goes to honor of you, Gray.
Okay, this is called Destined to Meet by Blatant B. There was a literal click, like a kiss and withdrawal, when two sides collided, like it was destined to meet, always moving to each other at the right time, at the right angle, as if perpetual motion had plans. I'd see her golden face, she'd see mine. There was static, as if we shared electrons. Collectively, our bank balances were in red. We shared notes with each other. It made sense. At times, we would butt heads, but we always came back. We were destined to be together, head to head. That's how we persevered. End poem.
Wonderful read. Well done. Thank you, sir.
Thank
and
you.
Would you like to comment? He said you just wrote.
Yeah, you know, I thought it was beautiful on the subject of two people coming together and, you know, butting heads at times, but always coming back. You know, they're destined to be together, head to head. That's how they persevered. Just a beautiful poem.
It is, and it's another example of two different writers viewing the same piece of artwork. And this is the red velvet purse with the closing that is the two people embracing and kissing. So, Dan, what did you think of Blatant B's writing here?
Yeah, I always like Blatant's writing. He's a great poet,
yeah.
And his comment was that drawing sure does look like a marriage, and I really liked. I see her golden face. She'd see mine. So you know, he sees that as seeing the gold and the gem within each other, which I thought was a really beautiful way to put that. So, Blayton did an awesome job as always, and a great way to end the show. Sorry for the confusion at the end, all my fault, but I learned my lesson.
Just makes things
and
more exciting.
I
agree with
perfectly
you.
Perfectly timed now
actually,
at 11:59.
Yeah, and this is this piece. I just want to close by saying that this is a little bit of a departure from Blayton B. His verse is usually very earthy, very not, I won't say dark, but very serious. And to see him write this little bit of whimsy here, I really hope we see more of this from him, because this is a superb wordplay in here. He's had a lot of fun with it. Made sense. There's misspellings in here that I think are deliberate. All righty, and we're done. So, anything you want to add?
No, we're over time, but we're still on the air. We're just not recording. Thank you, Pam in the background, and Gray, awesome for you to stay, and Dex for coming on later. So thanks, Gray, very, very much. Made our night.
Absolutely. No problem.
And
you saved me, so I appreciate that.
Someone has to.
Hey, that's our Easter theme, right? You saved me on Easter. You're the savior on Easter for me. So we got to stick with that Easter theme a little bit. Exactly. But no, great.
And
great
and I'll be posting our new contest either tomorrow or Monday, and the artist is going to be the mystical, magical artwork of Remedios Varo. So look
awesome.
For that one. Thank you, everyone.
That'll be a month from now, right? Because we have one up for 2 weeks from now already, I think.
Oh, yes. But I like to give people plenty of time to cerebrate over them.
Of course. Well, have
all
a
right.
Fantastic – I know we're not recording, but Pam and Gray and Bobby have a great Easter. I hope you guys, I don't know if you celebrate it or not, but I hope you have a great day tomorrow, and I hope everybody's happy and healthy.
Thank you. Much love, everybody.
Go.
Take care, everybody.
Good night.